I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear now is at stake. Humbling your hearts to God, free from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians away.
Jesus is coming soon,
morning or night or noon.
Many will
meet their doom.
Trumpets will surely sound.
All of the dead
shall rise.
Righteous be dead in the skies.
Rising up in the sky, bidding this world goodbye. Onward we then will fly, glory to share.
Jesus is coming soon,
morning or night or noon.
Many will
bear doom.
Trumpets will surely sound.
All of the dead
shall rise.
Thank you, men, for that timely reminder. And thank you for joining me today for the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. On today's broadcast, we'll be returning to my teaching from Daniel chapter 8, Kingdoms in Succession. We've spent some time looking at the setting that Daniel provides as the background for his vision that's recorded here in chapter 8. That vision transported him into the future, to a place that didn't yet exist in the form that he saw it. So his vision is clearly predictive prophecy. And then following the order of the text, we looked first at the kingdom of Medo-Persia. We noted that though these two kingdoms eventually became one, Persia was the one that became more powerful. The kingdom of Persia, represented by the ram with two horns, comes from the east, and it moves across the then-known world as an irresistible conqueror. And then as Daniel is watching that happen, a male goat appears coming from the opposite direction, coming from the west. This goat has only one horn, and he advances without his feet seeming to touch the ground. His power and his speed are amazing, and no one can stand before him. This, we also noted, was the kingdom of Greece, with Alexander the Great as its leader. And then out of that Greek empire, four smaller, weaker empires appeared. And out of those four, one became stronger than all the others and took control of the glorious land. We said that was Israel. That leader was Antiochus Epiphanes, the one who desecrated the temple and set himself up as God. Today we want to look at the closing verses of this chapter and then summarize what we've learned, so I hope you can stay with me. But before we resume our study in Daniel chapter 8, the men lead us in prayer with their song.
For those whose eyes would see, render them in faith to thee. For all those seeking peace, in thine arms all strife shall cease. In me the agony you bear, nothing can impair the perfect love I bring in a simple offering. In me the agony you bear, nothing can impair the perfect love I bring in a simple offering. In a
Then it happened, when I, Daniel, had seen the vision, and was seeking the meaning, that suddenly there stood before me one having the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai, who called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid, and fell on my face. But he said to me, Understand, Son of Man, that the vision refers to the time of the end. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground. But he touched me and stood me upright and said, Look, I am making known to you what shall happen in the latter time of the indignation, for at the appointed time the end shall be. The ram which you saw having the two horns, they are the kings of Media and Persia, and the male goat is the kingdom of Greece. The large horn that is between its eyes is the first king. As for the broken horn and the four that stood up in its place, four kingdoms shall arise out of that nation, but not with its power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise, having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy fearfully, and shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty, and also the holy people. Through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule, and he shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. He shall even rise against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without human means. And the vision of the evenings and mornings which was told is true. Therefore, seal up the vision, for it refers to many days in the future. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick 4 days. Afterward, I arose and went about the king's business. I was astonished by the vision, but no one understood it. Isn't it amazing that God revealed these details to Daniel? You see, with God, the future is just as known and just as certain as the past. Now, how do we understand these kingdoms? What are we to make of all this? Daniel is having a vision, and he's wondering about what it all means. You would be too. So would I. And all of a sudden, there's this man standing in front of him. And a voice begins speaking. Off camera, we might say. And Daniel hears these words. Gabriel, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. Someone was giving Gabriel instructions on what he was to do. Who has the authority to do that? God is the only one, or is it Michael, the archangel? The text doesn't tell us. You know, Gabriel's appearance is special. This is the first time he's identified in Scripture. He's the messenger angel. He was sent by God to Zacharias to tell him about the birth of John the Baptist. And then, as you know, he was sent to Mary to give her the news that she would be the mother of Messiah, Jesus. Gabriel has a very important role in Scripture and in God's service. Now, as soon as Gabriel comes near, Daniel falls on his face out of fear. It seems like he may have fainted. You might recall that John had a similar experience in Revelation chapter 1. It's interesting that in this scene, Gabriel doesn't address Daniel's fear. Often in Scripture, when human beings come face to face with angels, they're told not to fear. But not this time. He just touched Daniel and raised him up to his feet. Now I want to make sure you catch the first words that Gabriel utters to Daniel. He says, "Understand, son of man, that the vision refers to the time of the end." The end of what? Well, in verse 19, the term is expanded. Notice, "I am making known to you what shall happen in the latter time of the indignation." It seems likely that those two references are made about the same event. In his book, The Most High God, Reynolds Showers reminds us that the term indignation refers throughout Scripture to periods in Jewish history where God is angry with his people because of their sin and their rebellion against him. As you may recall, God used Gentile nations to chasten his wayward people, and those nations included Syria, Babylon, and others. It appears the indignation began in the 730s BC with the Assyrians and will continue until the time of the tribulation at the end. Now note that Gabriel refers to the time of the end, the latter time of the indignation, and that it refers to many days in the future. That's in verse 26. That seems to divide the time of indignation into two parts. The former is most likely what Daniel was living through in the Assyrian and Babylonian captivity. The latter time of indignation stretches from the end of the Babylonian captivity all the way . Now notice in verses 20 through 22 that Gabriel mentions the kingdoms as we've already identified them. The ram is Medo-Persia, and the he-goat is Greece. He also mentions the great horn, Alexander, being broken and four horns coming up in his place. We identified these kingdoms earlier in this teaching. And then out of the four, one comes up from the Seleucid dynasty, who is Antiochus Epiphanes. Let's notice what Gabriel says next, and here there are some challenging things to understand. Bible scholars disagree on how to interpret this chapter, especially the second half of it. Some see the prophecy completely fulfilled in the person and the times of Antiochus Epiphanes. Others say the whole chapter has a dual fulfillment. Still others say that the first 14 verses have been historically fulfilled. And I think we can agree on that. But they go on to say that the latter part of the chapter has a dual fulfillment, that is, a partial fulfillment in Antiochus, but also a fuller fulfillment in the Antichrist who is yet to come. This is the view I personally find to make the most sense with the context and with other scriptures. Verses 23 to 26 describe the characteristics of this individual who is pictured prophetically. First, he will appear in the latter time of their kingdom, that is, the four kingdoms of verse 22. Second, he will appear when the transgressors have reached their fullness, Next, he will be a king with fierce features who understands sinister schemes. He will possess great power, but it will be power from an outside source. He will also be extraordinarily destructive in his exploits, because in his power he destroys Israel and the mighty and holy people. Under his cunning leadership, deceptive policies will be proposed and advanced. Furthermore, he will exalt himself. Remember, that's what Antiochus did. And by means of a false peace, he will destroy many people. He will even revolt against the prince of princes. Yet in the end, he will be broken without human means. Now, Antiochus did not die on the battlefield or at the hand of an assassin. Instead, he died of a foul disease. Now notice verse 26. And the vision of the evenings and mornings which was told is true. Therefore seal up the vision, for it refers to many days in the future. Gabriel assures Daniel that the vision is true, but the understanding of the vision shall be delayed for many days, as well as its fulfillment. In looking at these various elements of the vision, we can see their historical fulfillment in the person and the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes. But there are a couple of phrases that seem to suggest something beyond that time. One of those phrases is, in the latter time of their kingdom. Antiochus did arise in the latter time of the Syrian kingdom. A second statement is, he shall stand up against the prince of princes. This is most likely a reference to Jesus the Messiah, but he wouldn't appear on the world scene until more than 150 years later from Antiochus. But we know that Antiochus did stand against the God of Israel and against the messianic hope. But the terms the end in verse 17 and the last end of the indignation in verse 19 are difficult for us to harmonize with the times of Antiochus. John Wolford says, these are hard to understand as relating to Antiochus in view of the larger picture of Daniel chapter 7, which concludes with the second advent of Christ. One writer points out that Antiochus did not live in the latter times of the old Grecian Empire. He died more than 100 years before it finally ended. His solution to this discrepancy is that the four kingdoms Daniel mentioned will also have a latter time. In other words, they will be represented territorially in the last days of the times of the Gentiles. So while there are many details here in this text that fit the time of Antiochus, there are others that seem to clearly foreshadow a future person. That future person will embody many of the same characteristics of Antiochus, but his reign will be different because it will be worldwide in scope. This future leader will also, according to Scripture, be broken without human means when he's defeated at the second coming of Jesus Christ. So we have here a classic double fulfillment of a prophetic portion of Scripture. Gabriel made it very clear to Daniel that the vision will not become immediately understandable to him, and its fulfillment will take a long time in coming. Now the result of Daniel's vision, which must have been an informational and emotional overload, was he fainted. This was more than just a normal faint, if there is such a thing, because the text says he was sick for many days after this experience. Daniel was astonished at the vision, and no one, including himself, understood it. You know, I can imagine him reliving this experience again and again and again and trying to figure out what it meant. Recall with me that previously, Daniel had been given understanding in dreams and visions, even to the point of interpretation. But here, he becomes the recorder of the vision only. It seems to me that the reason for the recording of this vision is for the benefit of future generations. Looking back over this 8th chapter of Daniel reveals the emphasis on prophecy as it relates to Israel during the times of the Gentiles. While this wasn't and isn't entirely a time of persecution for Israel, they have experienced great trials and suffering throughout the millennia. Of the four great world empires that Daniel saw in his visions, only Persia was relatively kind to the Jewish people. And Jesus himself characterized the times of the Gentiles in Luke chapter 21 by the treading down of Jerusalem and the persecution of God's ancient, chosen, earthly people. You know, if this chapter tells us nothing else, it tells us that God is absolutely in control of human history. He knows the end from the beginning. These world rulers that Daniel saw in his vision were allowed by God to serve in their positions. They thought they were in charge. They didn't realize they were tools in God's plan for human history. And they probably didn't realize that they were also tools in Satan's hand to try to usurp God's rightful place and frustrate his plans. This chapter also shows us the incredible accuracy of God's word, down to the smallest detail. God has a plan for human history, and he has a plan for each human life, including yours. You and I have two choices. We can discover and follow his plan, or we can chart our own course through life. The one choice leads to eternal life, and the other to eternal death. We must decide. Now I know, there are people who scoff at this whole idea of Christ's second coming. There were people like that during the time of the Apostle Peter when he was writing his letters to the early church. He wrote, "Scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation.' For this, they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The kingdom of Christ is coming. Will you be a part of it?
Rise, Lord.
Thank you, choir. Now, if you'd like a copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Kingdoms in Succession. It's available on an audio CD or in a printed manuscript. The easiest way to make your request is by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292, or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can log on to our website at heraldsofhope.org, and you can listen to this teaching at your convenience. Remember, it's titled Kingdoms in Succession. If you want to connect with us through Facebook, you can visit our page where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Now, once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, to learn more about the ministry and how you can become a partner with us. And while you're there, you can listen to today's teaching or any of our archived programs. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I'll look for you next week here on The Voice of Hope. And until we meet again,
let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God and in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go prepare a place for thee. The Lord is coming, are you ready? The Lord is coming, are you ready? Would your heart be on Calvary's love?